There's a little poem, "He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him."
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for him. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
"You are loved with an everlasting love." That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today and all this week on the subject of mothers. We get so many wonderful letters from mothers, some who are able to stay home and take care of their children, some who are not able to stay home and take care of their children. And I want this program to be an encouragement to all of you. I want it to be a joy. I wouldn't call it Gateway to Joy if I didn't really believe that the principles that I'm trying to articulate here are indeed the gateway to joy. It has certainly been true in my own life that when I have been disobedient to God, and I've had plenty of experience in that area, it has not led to joy. And when I have been obedient to God, it has, without exception, led ultimately to joy. Now, sometimes obedience leads us into suffering. Suffering is a part of God's training of us. But I want it to be a gateway to joy, and it can't be unless you can understand what it is that I'm trying to say. I'd like to help all of us, and I speak to myself when I speak to you. You know that, don't you? To see everything as under the eye of God, as mattering to God, seeking to do what he says to do and not to do what he says not to do. That's fairly simple, isn't it? If we love him, then we're going to try to do what he says to do, and we're going to try not to do what he says not to do. And the only way that we can know what he says to do and what he says not to do is by taking our cues from the Word, from the pastor of the church too, of course, from your Bible study teacher. There are some other sources, but the ultimate source, the primary source, is the Word of God, and the Word with a capital W, which is Christ himself. And God doesn't tell us to do anything which is contrary to his Word. You hear about some rather breathtakingly fanatical things that people do, and they say, "Well, God led me to do it." And if it's something which is contrary to the Word of God, we can be quite sure that it wasn't God who led them to do that, because God is not going to double-cross himself. But when we take our cues from the Bible, it's amazing how practical we see it to be. It is life-changing. It does apply. And it's amazing how often a straightforward look at the Bible clears things up for us when we're willing to be taught and corrected and shown what is really God's way. You know what Mark Twain said? He said, "I don't have nearly as much trouble with the things in the Bible that I can't understand as I do with the things I can understand." Well, I'm with Mark Twain on that. Sometimes it's as plain as the nose on your face what God wants you to do, but wouldn't it be nice to find some esoteric interpretation that absolves me from the responsibility of being obedient? We can always say, "Oh, yes, but that's not what that means there. That's just your interpretation." Very often, there is no leeway in the interpretation. If God says love one another, that means love one another, even if the other happens to be an enemy. When we're willing to be taught, he teaches us. When we're willing to be shown his way, he shows us his way. Now, there is a passage in the New Testament that tells me what I, as an older woman, am supposed to do. I don't see any way to get around this passage. Guess what it is? Some of you guessed it. Titus 2, 3 to 5. Specific instructions to older women. Actually, Paul was writing instructions to a young preacher, teaching him what to teach the people in his church. He tells them what to teach the older men, and then in verse 3, he says, "Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Now, this passage is not likely to be terribly popular in our day and age. Sometimes I'd just like to skip a passage like this because I know that there are some who are going to be offended. I hope that you understand that I didn't make this up. I'm reading you what the Bible says. Those of you who have to work outside your home, and perhaps there's somebody still listening who hasn't switched off their radio when she found out that Elizabeth was going to talk from Titus 2, 3 to 5. If you're still listening, let me just say, it's to God that you must answer, not to me. And if it is an economic necessity for you to work, if your husband is requiring you to work, that's entirely up to you and God. I have to be faithful to what the Bible tells me to say, and one of the things is to encourage younger women to stay home. If we skip these passages, we skip the blessing that God wants to give us. Now, I've spoken on this subject before, and I have gotten both negative and positive letters, mostly positive. I have a very thick file at home. I'm building a thicker file all the time of letters from women who really had never considered this passage as being God's pattern for mothers. They had taken their cues from the world, and that's understandable. The world comes at us, bombards us with worldly, secular thinking, and we have to continually go back and check out what the world tells us by what the Word tells us. Every command is meant for our joy and fulfillment. That's right, joy and fulfillment, not to ruin our fun, not to make life hard, but to make it easier by far than when we choose our own way. There's a little poem, "He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him." One of the things that the young pastor Titus was to teach the older women was reverence. That means respect and honor mingled with love and awe. Dignity. Am I a reverent old woman? I pray that God will keep me from foolishness, that he will give me the dignity proper to my sex and my age. Not pomposity, that's a very different thing. Not self-consciousness, but the kind of reverence, the kind of dignity that comes out of reverence for God, honor for the position in which he has put us women, mingled with love and awe. The next thing, that we are not to be gossips, slanderers. What a temptation it is for us to be gossips, and probably not worse for women than for men. Men love gossip just as much as women, as far as I can tell. Not to be addicted. Paul says to much wine. Some of us are not addicted to wine, but it's very easy to get addicted to something else, isn't it? I won't suggest what it might be. You know. But to teach what is good, and so train the younger women. We older women are meant to be available in order to set an example. The younger women are looking up to you. Younger women come to me and say, "Where can I find these older women who will train me?" And I say, "Well, what about in your church?" "Well, we've asked them." And they say, "No." Usually they say, "I wouldn't know how to do that." Sometimes they say, "I wouldn't have time." There's a lot of foolishness in us women. There's a lack of reverence evident in the lives of a good many old women. You can watch them in public places. Is there one who stands out as truly godly, truly womanly? Perhaps you can call the attention of that woman to this passage in Titus 2, 3-5 if she hasn't thought about it. And lots of women haven't given it any serious thought. They're not trying to be disobedient to God. They just really didn't realize it was there. I'm going to talk this week about Paul's plea to older women.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.